and welcome to Animates, bringing you stories about animals and how we connect with them. This program is recorded in the studios of 2RPH Sydney for the RPH Network. I'm Shimon Parker. Today, we have an interview with Ben McGuire from Remount. Ben McGuire and his wife Marina have found a way to share their love of horses while helping service veterans manage the impact of stress, injury, loss or post-traumatic stress disorder. Today we are lucky to have Ben from Remount share his story with us. Hello Ben, welcome to Animates.
Thank you Shimon, great to be here.
If we could just start off by explaining to us what the Remount program is and set the scene for the listeners as to where it is delivered.
Yeah, sure. So Remount is a not-for-profit company. We deliver all our programs through volunteers, and it's aimed at helping veterans get back in the saddle. Anyone that's struggling with their mental health as a result of their service, we get them on horses and we teach them all things about horses and mustering cattle. And that connection with the horse really helps people. So we deliver that around the Yass district. We've got a farm just outside of Yass. So people come to our farm and that's where we do all the programs.
Who is the programs specifically targeted at?
Yeah, so, you know, basically people who are either currently serving or former serving members of the Australian Defence Forces.
Yep.
And their families. So we also have had former members of the police and fire brigade. So frontline responders, people who have been in pretty stressful situations and have done sort of active community frontline work. That's our main target.
Are there any prerequisites for the program?
There's no formal application. We ask people to send us their story. There's a lot of support services available to veterans, but there's quite a process and application forms and lots of different interviews and things, and we're trying to avoid that. We just ask people to simply send us their story, and in some cases that can be a couple of sentences. In others it's a lot more detailed. It's really up to the individual. The point is that really if you can just let us know, you know, some part of your background and your service, then we just keep that on the company file for our own records, and that's really all we need to know.
Just keep it simple.
Very, yes. Mm.
Do you have to know how to ride a horse or any other skills?
No, you don't. In fact, I'd say probably half the people that come to us have never ridden a horse. Mm. And we had one gentleman recently who would have been in his 70s, who'd never been on a horse, and by mid-afternoon on day one, he was cantering around some cattle, bringing them all back with a big smile on his face. So, no, it's not a prerequisite. And, you know, we also have people come that are pretty capable horse people in their own right. Mm. And so it's we cater for all types. We start with everybody forming a bond with the horse that they will be riding over the course of the program. And that language of the horse, once people get that and they form that relationship and they set the ground rules for how they're going to work with that animal, it sets them up really well for later in the day and the next day or the next coming days to then go and perform tasks together. So we do some work on the ground, teach them about, I guess, the discipline of working with horses and expecting things out of our horses. Mm. And then by the time we get them in the saddle, they're in a much stronger frame of mind around how they're going to operate with this animal. And then it's a real work environment. So we then take these people and with their horse and the relationship they've built, they then go and do a task, and that task is mustering cattle. Mm. And it's a very rewarding experience for everybody, including us.
So how long is the program?
Well, we run 8 programs a year over the weekend. And then we have a couple of other extended ones where we'll bring people in for 5 days, and the people who really get the horse bug or want to extend their horsemanship training, they'll come back and spend some longer periods of time with us, and we'll do bigger jobs. We'll travel away from the farm and go and do some more mustering. So, but yeah, the main core program is 2 days. So people come in on the Friday afternoon and then we finish up on the Sunday.
Within the 2 days, they're already mustering?
Correct. Yeah, I know, it's hard to believe, isn't it? I mean, people get a surprise, but the stages that we take them through in the first morning and the first day are pretty tried and tested now, and without exception, we have everybody on that task on day one, and it's a real key component of the program that when they go to bed on the first night, having just met their horse, they've actually achieved something pretty special together.
That's the start of a special relationship, isn't it?
Yeah, look, it is. It is. And that's what they talk about when they leave, is the bond that they've formed with the horse. And they won't forget it. At our introduction, we always invite people to remember that remount is not just a one-off. If people want to become part of the remount family and come back, they're welcome. And they do that in a number of ways. Some people come back and volunteer, so we're always looking for people on the ground who are doing the cooking or helping with horses. So a number of our participants are regular volunteers now. Some people have come back and ridden a number of times and then went on to that extended program that I was just talking about. So yeah, there's no, it's not just kind of a one-shot thing. Others, of course, just have a great experience and say thank you, and they've achieved something pretty special in their lives, and then they go and do other activities. So it's a mix.
Well, how many volunteers are involved currently?
Actively, there would be more than 20.
Oh, wow.
And that includes people who do all the catering, people who are on the ground helping with horses. We have about a one-on-one ratio for mounted instructors, so our stockmen that we call them, who bring their own horses and one or two others, so that we can, you know, we generally mount about 12 people over a weekend. So it's a busy time. There's a lot to cater for and a lot of people to look after. And then our extended community are great too. You know, we've got neighbours who do cooking for us and provide food, and it's a really great community support project.
Can you give some examples of the changes that you've seen with participants who've been through the program?
Yeah, look, it's wide and varied, I suppose. We had one lady here recently who said that we'd actually help save a life. And you know, when we have those conversations around the dinner table at the end of a program, it gives us the motivation, you know, not that we really need any, to be honest, but it's very empowering to say, you know what, we're making a difference. I mean, there's other people who it just has broken the cycle of kind of being stuck in there. You know, they either weren't sure about how to get back on with their life or with a job or get the confidence to do something different. And this experience awakens them to understand that they are valued and they're a highly valued member of the community, and we're not judging them for either what they've participated in or seen or done or been a part of, and we've given them a bit of peace. And there's a whole range of stories about people who are now going back to work, or maybe they're marching on Anzac Day again where they haven't for many years because they just haven't felt valued or worthy. So yeah, there's some lovely stories that we get. People write to us many, many months later with their ongoing outcomes for having been in the saddle just a couple of days with us.
The name of your program summarises it all, doesn't it? Helping people get back on the horse and remount their lives.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that good old, you know, let's get back in the saddle Australian story. And it also has the military connotation as well with, you know, back in the day when the military used horses, there were, you know, divisions of people who were engaged in doing that. So it's a nice connection, and it really resonates with people that we are giving them an opportunity to get back in the saddle in so many ways.
I imagine some of your clients come from a very isolated headspace. Do you know why your horses are able to connect so well with your veterans?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I do know that there is some growing research and science around this, but it's difficult to explain for a layperson. I mean, I've been riding horses for 50 years, and I get it, and I see what they do, but it's difficult to explain. But what I do know is that I've seen horses behave so differently depending on who is with them and on their back and riding, and they're so kind and gentle, and they just seem to have this enormous emotional intelligence to respond in an appropriate way for somebody who is battling.
We've heard the term horse whisperers, but it seems that the horses are human whisperers, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. They're such kind, and they don't judge, and they just want to connect with people. I mean, because they're a herd animal, they're always looking for the alpha in the herd. And so when that alpha becomes a stranger who either may have some challenges themselves with their own confidence or their mental health issues and things like that, the horses become very, very responsive to those people and very kind to them.
Have you and your team received any special training to cater the needs of the veterans?
Oh, look, honey, the training of life, Shimon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a question that we get a lot. We do put our volunteers through quite a rigorous training program in terms of process and what happens when and how do we deal with certain situations. And I feel like we've got a team of people very well equipped to manage, you know, some quite intense situations. But I think that's the magic of remount, is that when people get out of the car on arrival, they're greeted with a, hello, how are you, would you like a cup of tea? Mm. Not a formal assessment of your state of mind and where you are on the spectrum, and that is a very different experience for people when they're accessing these support services. There's just an immediate kind of join in and stand around the campfire with us.
That's sort of in line with your philosophy of keeping it simple and not making it an intervention as such. Is it just the relationship with the horses that makes the program so successful, or are there other ingredients?
The environment that we're in, and I'm looking out the window now while we're talking at a huge landscape. There's a big, we've got some lovely hills here, and we have a beautiful view that goes for, 70 kilometres in one direction back over towards the nation's capital. And I'm sure that sense of sky and space and trees and that raw Australian beauty really helps when people arrive here. It's a classic country setting, and the magpies are, chirping, and it's just, so I think there's a lot of elements to what helps people when they're here.
And I understand you also teach leatherwork.
Yeah, that's right. So our ambition long term is to take remount into a fully functional working environment where we're got career training programs for people to shoe horses and, make bridles and build saddles and things. So our start to that is by offering leatherwork during the evening. And so our drovers, as we call them, these are our guests, they sit around before and after dinner and they do leatherwork and get taught how to make things. And they quite often leave here with a belt that they've made, or the other weekend they made a hobble belt with a knife pouch on it. And it's another way to sit and communicate and participate in a group activity with a lovely focus. And then it's something they've also been able to take away with them.
Have you already had participants that have been inspired by your program and gone into careers in as drovers or some other work requiring horsemanship?
We've had a couple that have done that in their own time. So once they've been here, they've gone and either bought horses or started working on farms. And then there's a couple who have shown some interest in, we've got connections further north and in the Western country where they'd really like to go and work on a driving team for, a couple of weeks, and we've been able to put people in contact. So there is that real possibility of making a transition into full-time work. I think remount has the capacity to end up sort of having a true graduation where somebody could leave here knowing how to build a fence and shoe a horse and, look after a whole bunch of different animals and cattle husbandry so that they could go and work on a station and be, kind of valuable asset to the team.
When did you start offering the program?
we kicked off late 2016, and we've been operating since then.
And how many programs have you run in that time?
We've done about 25. We've had 150 people through Remount since we started.
How do you fund the program?
Well, initially, it was self-funded. So myself and Marina and some of our board and some of our community, you know, it was just a collective effort, really, to make sure that we just wanted to do this, and we wanted to do it so much we just thought we'd fund it ourselves. And then Lockheed Martin heard about what we were doing, and they showed some interest in supporting us, and they're now a sponsor, and that underwrites all our costs for catering and insurance and things like that. So there's still some other costs that we all bear outside of that, but certainly the sponsorship from Lockheed is very welcome, and also our local soldiers club, the YAS Soldiers Club, give us some funding each year as well. And that allows us to provide this for no charge to our veterans and their families.
You don't get any government funding at all?
No, look, we don't. And we talk a lot about this. Firstly, I don't think we really fit the box, because there's no real science, or we don't have, you know, they like to really understand the research around anything that they fund.
Yes.
Outside of that, though, we're really determined to stay away from that model, because departments change, governments change, and if we become reliant on government funding, that can be turned off and on again very quickly. So we're looking at a social venture model long term to make this sustainable.
Yeah.
So people would come and pay with their families for an experience, knowing that they're underwriting the costs for a veteran to come next week. And I think that's the sustainable model that we will develop over time. It's what we do.
If anybody hearing this program would like to donate, how can they do that?
We have a very active Facebook site and a website as well, which is remount.org.au.
Ben, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. You're doing amazing work, and thank you for your time.
You're welcome, Shimon. Thank you. Yeah, we love it, and we know it's making a difference, and it gives us a great sense of pride, and it really is our way of saying thank you to our veteran community and their families for their sacrifices and what they've done, and it's a terrific way to say thanks.
You have been listening to Animates. This program has been recorded in the studios of 2RPH Sydney for the RPH Network. Animates was created by Jovan Kuhl. Our technical producer is Katie Brooks. Research by Joseph Schwanzer. And I'm Shimon Parker. Please join us again next time for more stories of animals and their mates.